It's a blessing to be together once again as God's family. We're glad you're here and encourage you to get your Bible and come with us to the book of Ephesians. To begin our study, I'll read from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, where Paul addressed the Ephesians, saying, "And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Let me ask you, did you see yourself in that reading? I certainly did. To borrow the language of Paul, "In time past, I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I'm not who I used to be. My life has taken a different course. And in the words of our reading from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2, that I no longer should live the rest of time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." And what I'd like to do in our study is quickly call attention to a number of words that describe me now. I begin by suggesting to you the word "alive" is a word that describes me now. There was a time, as Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. In verse 5, he said, "Even when we were dead in sins. But now we are alive. We have been quickened." The basic meaning of the word "quickened" is to be made alive. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Again in verse 5, "quickened us together with Christ." In the parallel book, Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul said, "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him." Though we were alive physically, we were dead spiritually, separated from God, but now dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. But there's a second word that describes me now, and that is the word "loved." According to Ephesians 2 and verse 3, "In time past, we were by nature the children of wrath, but now we are the object of his great love." Ephesians 2 and verse 4. And in Revelation 1 and verse 5, John wrote of him that loved us. What a blessing to no longer be the object of his wrath, but to be the recipient of his great love. Another word that describes me now is the word "saved." Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 and realize that in time past, we were not among those who are saved, but among those who are described as being lost. Right in the Corinthians, Paul said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." That's 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. But now I'm among those who are saved. In Ephesians 2 and verse 5, Paul said, "By grace ye are saved." And again in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." I'll read where Paul wrote Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, that God will have all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. And so what a blessing to be described by this word saved. Another word that describes me now is the word in. There was a time when I was out. I was without Christ and without God, Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 12. But things have changed. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, Paul says, "We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus." And again in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus." Why be out when you can be in? God's blessings have always been in. Back in the days of Noah, they were in the ark. Genesis 7 put a lot of emphasis on being in the ark as God invited Noah and his family to come into the ark. And the Lord shut them in. And all those that were in the ark were saved, and those out of the ark perished. If you live during the time of the Jews in Exodus, you'll find that God put His blessings in the house. When the plague of the death of the firstborn was coming, the instruction was for His people to abide in their house with the blood of the Lamb on it. Exodus 12 and verse 22. During the wilderness wandering period, as recorded in Numbers chapter 35, if you killed somebody accidentally or unawares, there were blessings of protection and safety that were available to you in the city. You'd abide in a city of refuge until the death of the high priest, Numbers 35, 25, and 28. But also in the days of Joshua in chapter 2 and verse 19 of the book, we find that salvation and blessings were placed in Rahab's house. And so you had to be in Rahab's house to be spared from the taking of the city of Jericho. In Acts 27, when Paul sailing a tempest-tossed sea, the Lord said, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." And so you had to be in the ship. And now God's blessings, our benefits are to be found where? In Christ and in the church. And so that's a word that describes me now, in. But also, when you make your list today of words that describe me now, I'd like to suggest to you that now I am reconciled. There was a time when I was afar off. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Why would you want to be afar off from God when you can be made nigh unto God? And also down in verse 16 he says, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Those two texts, 13 and 16, go together. To be made nigh is to be reconciled. And we're reconciled by the cross or by the blood of Christ, in the body of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, when Paul, writing the saints in Rome in verse 10, he said, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." And to the Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 21, he said, "You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." And so no longer an enemy, no longer far off, I've been made nigh or reconciled unto God. Another word that describes me now is the word citizen. I'm now a citizen of God's kingdom. I was a stranger. I was a foreigner. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 19, he said, "Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners." What's the word that describes me now, Paul? "But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You ever been in a foreign country speaking a foreign language? It's a little uncomfortable, isn't it? Takes a little getting used to. Everything's strange to you. No longer foreigners in God's kingdom. We're citizens. We have the blessings of citizenship, having been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. What a blessing to be fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. But there's another word that describes me now, and that's the word blessed. Blessed. Come with me to the book of Romans chapter 4 now. And notice the language of Paul in verses 7 and 8. Saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." When the Lord does not hold sin to your account. You're a blessed man. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 8, Paul said, "The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Ephesians 1 and verse 3 points out this realm of blessing. As Paul penned, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with," what's he blessed us with? "All spiritual blessings in heavenly places." And where are these blessings? In Christ. Since I'm in and not out, I'm blessed. Does that describe you now? Another word that describes me now is the word redeemed. We sing, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." Can you sing that song? Have you been redeemed? To be redeemed is to be purchased or to be bought. Peter, writing scattered saints in 1 Peter 1:18, said, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation," that's your former life, "received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. The word "purchased" could also be used. As Paul, meeting with Ephesian elders, said in Acts 20:28, "To feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Or you could put the word "bought" in place of that. As 1 Corinthians 6 suggests in verse 20, you're bought with a price. We sang about that this morning, how that he bore it all. You behold the Christ upon the cross and you see the price that was paid for our redemption. I'll tell you another word, though, that describes me now, and that's the word "new." In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, Paul said, "If any be in Christ, he is what? A new creature." I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. You like new things? Would you like to be a new person? You can be. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 15, Paul said, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." What is it that avails? A new creature. And writing the Ephesians, Paul appealed to these folks to put on the new man. He said in Ephesians 4 and verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. You don't live like you used to live, you see, because you're new. Verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that same appeal was made to the Colossians in chapter 3. When we come forth from the waters of baptism, we rise to walk in newness of life. Remember that? Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4. And so, I'm new. Another word I want to share with you that describes me now is the word "free." Would you like to be made free? Imagine being in bondage. Who wants to be enslaved and shackled when you can be made free? In John 8 and verse 32, the Lord said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And down in verse 36, he declared, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." When Paul wrote to the Romans, who had been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, he said in Romans 6 and in verse 18, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made what? Free. Made when? When they obeyed." And then in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 2, he continues, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Is that a word that describes you? I'll tell you another word that describes me now. That's the word "forgiven." What a word. To suggest that a person is guilty and then to hear that he's been forgiven, pardoned. That's a word that describes me now. In Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 13, Paul said, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him." What's the rest of that? "Having forgiven you." What's he forgiven you? "All trespasses." Think about that. All sins you've ever committed in your past. Guess what? Forgiven. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. He writes of Christ, "In whom?" Remember, we're in among the in crowd when we're in Christ. "And in whom we have," what do we have? "Redemption through his blood." Listen, "the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And then in Colossians 1 and verse 14, "In whom," again, Christ, "we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Then finally, words that describe me now: washed, sanctified. You know what the last one is? Justified. Now take us to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, there are some words that would have described these people before, like unrighteous, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, fornicator, idolater, adulterer, effeminate, abuser, thief, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. But you know, these words don't describe these people now. How are they described? Verse 11, "Such were some of you, but ye are." It's not a matter of what they were, but what are they now? What words describe me now? Washed, sanctified, and justified. Oh, to be washed from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1 and verse 5. Have you been washed in the blood? To be sanctified is to be set apart from uncleanness to holiness. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2, he said, "To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." That's a word that describes me now. As well as the word justified. Justified is to be made just and right in the sight of Almighty God. In Acts 13 and verse 39, it is said, "By him," that's Christ, "all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." These are some amazing words, aren't they, that describe me now. I'm a believer, a Christian, a disciple, a saint. Words that describe me now. What made the difference? Two things. You know what they are? God's grace and my faith. Ephesians 2 and in verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Grace is God's part. He's done everything he can to bring about this difference in our lives. He loved us, John 3:16. He bestowed his grace upon us, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. The Holy Spirit has revealed his will to us in words that we can read and understand, Ephesians 3:3-6. And now it's up to us to do our part by faith, which involves us hearing the word of the truth of the gospel, just like the Ephesians did. When Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 13, "Ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation," and then to believe it. He said, "After that ye believed." But there's more to it than just hearing and believing. Repentance is also involved in the conversion of the Ephesians in Acts 20 and verse 21. Paul said, "Testifying repentance toward God." Also, there's confession that's involved in the conversion of the Ephesians. We find where they made confession in Acts the 19th chapter. In verse 18, "Many that believe came and confessed." And then it involves being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19:5, "When they heard this," they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you hear the word like they did and believe it, repent toward God, make confession, and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, just like they were. These are words that can describe you now. If you've already done that, but you become disobedient, you've lost your way, you've gone back into sin, we urge you to repent of that. Ask for God's forgiveness so these words can describe you now. If we can assist you in making your life right with the Lord, why don't you come now while we stand and while we sing the song.